From the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Wow. My mic works. They'll get it. All right. Someone just said to me, is it already Reformation? My goodness. You know, it is. It came up quick. We're at Reformation where God blessed his church. Many reformations had occurred over many years, even before Luther. And it's something that really fits for every generation. Every generation has the opportunity to lose the gospel. And every generation has the opportunity to make it blossom and flourish. We have been blessed having that opportunity to do so in spite of the trials and difficulties that come along. We celebrate that today in our Reformation service. We're following setting three for our worship, and our first song is, first hymn is, If God Had Not Been on Our Side, hymn 866, hymn 866.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Tim Kuske will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Mark, chapter 13, verses 5 through 11. Signs of the End Times. Join us now in singing hymn number 866. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death.
Trusting in him, I pray. God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He has sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our refuge and strength, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all their enemies, and bestow on the church your saving peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. as with Luther's Reformation, God always acts and does what is necessary. I want you to pay attention, especially to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed before they were thrown into the fire, and recognize that they trusted God implicitly. They knew by faith alone. We read Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "We have no need to answer you about this matter, since our God, whom we serve, does exist. He is able to save us from the blazing fiery furnace. So he may save us from your hand, your majesty. But if he does not, you should know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. He ordered some men, who were soldiers from his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to throw them into the blazing fiery furnace. So these men were bound in their coats, their pants, their turbans, and their other clothing, and they were thrown into the middle of the blazing fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace was extremely hot, those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were killed by the intense heat of the fire. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had been tied up, fell into the blazing fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was startled and immediately stood up. He said to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men who had been tied up into the middle of the fire?" They answered the king, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men who are untied and walking around in the middle of the fire, unharmed. What is more, the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar approached the door of the blazing fiery furnace. He said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the middle of the furnace. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors gathered together and looked at these men. The fire had no power over their bodies. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their robes were not damaged, and the smell of the fire had not stuck to them. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and saved his servants, who trusted in God and ignored the king's command. They gave up their bodies and did not pay homage or worship any god except their God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On Sunday, our choir will sing a version of Psalm 46. Today, we sing Psalm 46a. It's found in your hymnal or in your psalter. Our cantor will sing the first refrain, I believe. Maybe a little more. We'll see. God provides us with grace alone through the power of the gospel, and he ensures that it is preached. We read from Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the middle of the sky. He had the everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the sky, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise and we will sing the gospel acclamation. Our gospel lesson is found in Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 11, where Jesus reminds us of the signs of the times. We read, Jesus began by telling them, "Be careful that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. Whenever you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. Such things must happen, but the end is not yet. In fact, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are the beginning of birth pains, but be on your guard. People will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will, you'll stand in the presence of rulers and kings for my sake, as a witness to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand what you should say. So say whatever is given you in that hour, because you will not be the one speaking. Instead, it will be the Holy Spirit." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for, another favorite hymn of mine. "I Am Trusting You, Lord Jesus," hymn 816, a wonderful Reformation hymn. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. It's about that time of the year that you gotta warn your kids and grandkids, right? You gotta tell them, don't you dare eat too much candy. You're gonna rot your teeth out. Okay, probably didn't happen immediately, and they know it, you know. We give warnings now and again, don't we? We want people to be on their guard, be vigilant for their own health, for their own good. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing when he talks to his disciples on what's interestingly his last exit from the temple. He had just done his last teaching about the widow's mite. And on the way out, they were having a conversation. They were looking in the evening at this beautiful temple. Sun shining on it, low in the sky, giving it just the right light and making the brick just shine, the stone shine with light. And the disciples were proud of it. But this is what Jesus responded. Let me just read a couple of verses from our text. Jesus began by telling them, "Be careful that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Say whatever is given to you in that hour, because you will not be the one speaking. Instead, it will be the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. I think the disciples were rightly proud of that beautiful building. They probably didn't like Herod very much. He had the Herod who started the construction, the rebuilding of the temple, was not exactly a Jew for that matter, much less a Christian. And yet he knew how to make his people happy. And he made that become a shining example of what Christ is and would be. And now Jesus says, look, that thing is going to have every stone turned over. It's interesting as you hear about the history, in about, I think it was 70 AD or was it 80? I forget. My friends might tell me. The Romans came at a rebellion of the Israelites, of the Jews, and they did turn over every stone of the temple. Because after they conquered Jerusalem, there was so much gold in that temple that they knocked stone over from stone to get at the little bits of gold that had melted down in the fire. Every stone was knocked down. But Jesus is aiming at something a little bit different. He warns us of the difficulties that we have in every age by talking about the end times. Once Christ had paid for our sins on the cross, we are now at that point in the end times. And he gives us those signs, the end times, and reminds us to get into the Reformation spirit, to be prepared for the end times, to prepare ourselves for the end times, but also be prepared to speak the gospel where it's necessary. So he gives those signs. We see them in the church. There will be trouble for those who are in the church. Jesus says it this way, "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many." It's exactly what Satan did at the very beginning when he deceived Adam and Eve. It is lies. It is exaggerations. It is making something look good that is absolutely horrible for you. And this is what Satan does. He kills souls by bringing in false teachings and deceptions. So many deceptions in the early years of Christianity was about who Jesus is, whether he was a true God or not, whether he was only an image of God. All kinds of weird things came along. And the dualism that made troubles along the way and still affects us today. It's amazing how all this gets back on the internet and people get fooled by things that had been soundly defeated previously. It's amazing the deceptions that are out there. And it's not just about who Jesus is. It's about various teachings. I just so often hear this one. Well, I can worship God out in nature. Yes, you can. But God commands you to join together with other Christians and worship weekly with others. He commands that. And you're going to defy that? There's all kinds of deceptions out there in our political process. Big one that has been perennial for us is abortion. The lie is, this is my body. No, it isn't. It's somebody else's. Half the time, it's a male. People take responsibility for making another human, and yet they say, and this is the one that really got me, was a famous comedian that's out there who said, I know I'm killing a human when there's abortion, but I'm good with that. How in the world have we come to that place? And it's not just about one party or the other, IVF. Although it's a wonderful blessing when used well, there are other times when these fertilized eggs, which are humans, are just destroyed and abandoned, which is just like abortion. How sad that these kind of things are out there. I get it. There's all kinds of problems in the world that come because of our lack of self-discipline, because of our lack of integrity, and often the men who also were part of this aren't called to account. How important for us to stand up for what God says, and in whatever party we're in, point out that we're about the life that God gives, and we're about souls. And that's what we want to see, having free reign, free opportunity to spread that gospel. There will be other problems in our world, in societies. There will be wars and violence. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The sinful nature continues to do this. There will not be a time in the world when there isn't this kind of violence out there. As a historian, I found out that every century has surpassed all previous centuries combined in deaths due to wars. To me, that's really scary for our present century, because we haven't had that many deaths in wars. A little scary. There's going to be problems in the world, in nature, earthquakes and famines. God talks about famines are interesting because they could be because of human beings, but they are also happen because of the nature being upset at times. This is not the perfect world that God created. Even nature has been corrupted by our sins. These are the signs to you, his faithful people. What's really interesting about that is they've been happening since time immemorial. Ever since Jesus, you could say there were earthquakes, there were famines, there were nations rising against nation, there were deceivers and false teachers that came along. But what is God doing? He's doing exactly what you did for your grandkids. He's warning you. Don't rot your teeth out, kid, right? Well, God's saying, watch your soul. Be very careful in this world. Take a new point of view. Find what God has given. Look back and see how, if we follow what God says, it is good for us. Prepare yourselves. Be ready now for him to return. Prepare your family. I like to say, I always said to my one son, I had only one, but I kept telling him, I want to see you in heaven. That's what I want. And it had an effect on him. I heard him repeating it to somebody else when he didn't know I was there. I thought that was really cool. We need to know and believe what God has taught, and not the deceivers that are out there. Grow stronger and more mature in your faith so that the lies and the deceits of Satan do not turn you upside down. But now the believer will ask the question, and even the unbeliever, why in the world, God, do you allow such difficulty, disaster, and devastation in this world? Why in the world would God allow good people to suffer in this world? And we know the basic answer. It's a sinful world, and God's letting us get our comeuppance. Right? But there's even more to it. The reality of sin is on display in these disasters and all the connivings of people and persecutions. And besides, we would feel no need for a Savior if we had a perfect world. We wouldn't have no reason to look forward to heaven if things were perfect. But these are the consequences of sin. And because of Christ, we see it. And now think about it from an unbelieving point of view. What in the world do all these disasters and difficulties do? I especially love talking to people who claim to be atheists. And they keep on blaming the Christians for how bad it is. But if they're atheists, how can it be the Christians' fault? How can it be God's fault? Right? If from their point of view there is no God, why in the world is there so much problems and sin in the world? Well, the only conclusion is human beings, right? Well, isn't that exactly what God has been teaching all along? They don't think it through. They don't understand that their logic is flawed. And so God continues to allow these difficulties and emotional problems and disasters and devastation to happen to drive them to repentance and find hope in the one they do have, the one and only true God. They deny God, the only explanation for this evil, because they're human beings. But God allows them to suffer so that they might see others who have peace, who have forgiveness, who have joy, even in a terrible world that brings us problems. And this reveals to them the only hope is in the salvation of Christ. And what will happen to those Christians? So why in the world do they want to become Christians when you hear about this other stuff? There's going to be persecutions, it says. Be on your guard. People will hand you over to councils and you will be beaten in synagogue. Excuse me. You will stand in the presence of rulers and kings for my sake as a witness to them. These things, Jesus says, will happen. And they have always happened. Paul, in the book of Acts, did it quite often. He got in the face of people, and he was beaten almost to death a couple of times. Because the people of the world hate the gospel message. They want to earn it. They want to have it their own success and their own make their own salvation for themselves. But that's not what salvation is. It's someone outside of you saving you. Doing what you could not do. And that's exactly what Christ did. That's the gospel message. He paid for your sins. He died the death you were supposed to die, and his judgment was unfair. He did not give you what your sins deserve, but gave you peace and joy and freedom from sin, freedom from guilt. You deserve much worse. If he was going to be fair. But governments will want to control everything. We see it especially in places like China. And I pray for those Christians who are in China right now. There is a crackdown on Christianity there. And yet, amazingly, how strong they have made the Christian church there. That the house churches, although the government still pushes them around and makes trouble for them, they can't change their conscience. That although they're willing to follow their government and be a good citizen in their own country, the government still wants to make their lives miserable. And I love the way Jesus describes it because it fits exactly what I've been talking about all along here. He says, these are the beginning of birth pains. Now, I've never had to experience that. But I was talking to a lady who was also in the kidney clinic, because I had kidney stones, and so did she. And she said, you know what, the pain is pretty comparable between kidney stones and birth pains. But you know what? I'll do birth pains anytime because I get something really good out of it, right? Birth pain is painful. But what are we looking forward to? We're looking forward to the blessings of God and eternal life. Here is the culmination of that gospel message. Although unbelievers hate the gospel and they will try to twist your arm to, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to worship other gods and to turn your faith somewhere else, well, maybe God's using that for you to make a witness and maybe be a martyr. But how joyful is that gospel? Let it uphold you. Let it carry you through such difficult persecution. And when you think about it, compromise is not something that God wants us to do on his word. It's a very important part of governing, isn't it? And there are very pragmatic men in government who are willing to compromise. But on Christianity, it seems, especially in Russia, let's say, in the before the present era, when they were kicking Christians out of the world, at least trying to suppress Christianity, they weren't for all that. There's a wonderful story in a book that was about 20th century martyrs. There were some Russian soldiers on duty, and they were in the far north. And their commander found out that one of them was a Christian. And now think about this. The commander said to the man, who's the Christian, strip down and go stand on the lake. Okay, stand on the lake. No, he wasn't walking on water. This was cold winter up north. You guys get that, right? And after a little while, another soldier, without saying a word, stripped down and went and stood next to him, because he too was a Christian. And the amazing thing is that we still have the story. There must have been a third who was impressed by all this and investigated it and brought us that story. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we need to be ready for the things that are coming our way. We got to prepare the next generation for a society that is decidedly turning away from Christianity and be ready to stand up for what they believe. Let's take those opportunities and let's be ready to point out that, you know what? The signs of the times will still come. And the signs of the times will affect the unbelievers as well. And it's just like you as a parent when you found an opportunity and a kid starts picking up a frog and you take the time to teach him, right? Well, when you see something like this, take the opportunity to present your Lord and the gospel. Take the opportunity to be prepared to witness that gospel, because God wants it to be spread to every nation. And this is, seems to be the key, that in every nation the gospel will be preached among every people. And when you look around, especially in the last 200 years or so, as the British went around the world and the Americans have so dominated the world, Christianity has gone just about everywhere. The last sign seems to be close to being fulfilled. And we get the opportunities, because of these signs, to tell people about our peace, to tell people about our joy, to help them reform their hearts and conform them to Christ Jesus, to recognize that their hope is in Christ, that they can get rid of their helplessness, hopelessness, and their powerlessness and find freedom and the love of God and peace in Christ Jesus. It's what we're here for. I guess at this point, we Christians haven't spread the gospel far enough. Let's keep taking those opportunities. Let's let that gospel out. Let it be spoken. Let it be the peace that they're aiming for and keep on warning people about the signs of the times that always will come. And remember what the gospel is. It is more powerful than a lion. It will do its own work. It will defend itself. Just let it out for a while. Be the ones, as Christians, who serve as God's witnesses in this world. Be prepared to answer for Christ. The Reformation spirit. It has been around a lot longer than you think. We had an example in our Old Testament reading today. And there have been times before Luther and after Luther when things needed to be put back right. We thank the Lord that he continues to love us that much, that he continues to pay attention to us, that he continues to carry us and bless us so that we can speak from the scriptures alone about the grace of God alone, that through faith alone we have eternity. Keep that spirit of the Reformation. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. We now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From there
he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for the prayer of the church. We will pray the responsive prayer, which is on the screen. Loving God and Lord, you created the universe that surrounds us and the globe on which we live. You control all things through your Son, who sits at your right hand in glory.
Comfort us with the promise of your eternal presence.
Give your word power as it works in our hearts and minds. Clear away our own confusion and demolish our own doubts. Send your Spirit to strengthen both our confidence in your promises and a desire to live according to your will.
Take away our love of sinning and restore us each day by your grace.
The signs of the times warn us that the end of time is near. Protect us from scoffers who sneer at your truth. Spare us and Christians around the world from all forms of hate and persecution.
Give us courage to carry the cross with patience and joy.
Instill in the hearts of our children a desire to follow you as they prepare for future days. Help them distinguish between what is passing and what is eternal, between instant thrills and lasting joy. Encourage more young people to prepare for service in the public ministry of the gospel.
Mold us and move us to be good examples for our youth.
Hold in your care, Lord, those who are experiencing physical or emotional pain, and all who are afflicted by disease or facing death. Pour out your compassion on the grieving and comfort the mourners who miss someone they loved.
Move us to pray for these brothers and sisters, and to help when we can.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today on behalf of Vern Kingery's family. Bless them as they go through the funeral that is coming up on Saturday. Bless them with the knowledge of his faith and his strong and sure confidence in Christ Jesus. He has been a pillar for our church for many years. Continue to bless us with people who will also bear that kind of load that he did and serve with such love and humility as he did. Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Whether we pray together or alone, you have promised to hear and answer us. Give us patience to accept your blessings in whatever way you send them. In your love and wisdom, prepare us for the day when you will take us to be with you forever. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our offering is at the alms box that's by the door. If you want to continue to worship in that way, we will continue by singing Brothers, Sisters. Oops, that's only for our offering, isn't it? We move on to hymn 874, Preserve Your Word, O Savior. Preserve Your Word, O Savior. Let's get to the right hymn to make sure I'm in the right place. That one's for the, there we go. Thank you. Rise. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we will cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In your name we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. We conclude with a Reformation favorite, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We're singing the version that is 864 if you want to follow along in your hymnals. Please be seated. Good evening once again. Couple of quick announcements. A week from now, we're going to have our trunk or treat over in the school this time. That's going to be interesting, seeing kids come up to this door thinking we're doing it here. We'll have little devils and who knows what coming up to our door. All right. If you have time, come and enjoy it. We hope we have some good weather like we've been blessed with in the past. It's just it's a real blast to just have fun and talk to our community in this way. Gives us an opportunity to speak to them. Uh-oh. Guess what? Daylight savings coming up on the 3rd. That's not this Sunday, but the next. So you get to fall back. You get an extra hour, but just be aware that that's coming. Another thing at the school that's coming up is their family fun night. Again, another fun event that we have. It just all comes at the same time. Basketball practice begins for the kids. Hopefully we'll see them also singing here. If you want to bring bars for the Reformation Festival, that's coming up this Sunday at 3 o'clock. Please sign up to do that. Let's see, there's also Vern Kingery's funeral on Saturday. So that one's probably going to be a big one. We'd love to have as many as possible to comfort their family. We will have a regular worship service on Sunday morning, and the festival service with lots of Reformation singing will be at 3 p.m. I always forget that organist's name. What is that organist's name? Charles Bono is coming to really make to blow the dust out of our pipes. So come and enjoy that if you have the time at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Good evening to all of you. God bless.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran Church and School serves children.